From the NBC University Theater, a full-hour dramatization of one of this century's most celebrated novels, E.M. Forster's A Passage to India, starring Joseph Schildkraut. We bring you a penetrating diagnosis of one of the essential conflicts of our time, a story of India, of the Indians and the English, and the barriers between. We bring you E.M. Forster's contemporary classic, A Passage to India, as adapted for radio by George Lefferts. At intermission time, it will be our singular privilege to present as commentator on A Passage to India, the author of the work himself, Mr. E.M. Forster. The distinguished British author arrived in America a few weeks ago to address the American Academy of Arts and Letters. He recorded his university theater commentary in New York. Here now, A Passage to India, starring Joseph Schildkraut as Dr. Aziz.
Except for the Maribor Caves, and they are 20 miles off, the city of Chandrapur presents nothing extraordinary. Edged by the Ganges, it trails for a few miles along the bank, scarcely distinguishable from the rubbish it deposits so freely. So abased, so monotonous is everything that meets the eye, that the Ganges might be expected to wash the excretions back into the soil. Houses do fall, people are drowned and left rotting, but the general outline of the town persists, swelling here, shrinking there, like some low but indestructible form of life. Inland, the prospect alters. Beyond the railway on high ground stand the houses of the British Civil Station. The station is sensibly planned, with a red brick club on its brow, and farther back, a grocery and a cemetery. The bungalows are disposed along roads that intersect at right angles. Everything is neat, precise. It shares nothing with the city, except the overarching sky. On a cool evening just before the hot months, the British Chandrapur Club gave a dance in honor of two newly arrived English ladies, Mrs. Agatha Moore, the mother of Ronnie Heslop, civil magistrate, and Miss Adela Quested, who it was rumored might marry Ronnie.
Well, darling, how do you like our little station?
Everyone seems terribly nice, Ronnie.
You'll get to know them much better if you decide to marry me and stay on.
Why, Ronnie, I've hardly had a chance to get to know you again in the 2 days we've been here.
Know me? But you've known me for years.
Well, I mean, I knew you in England, but I don't know you in India. That is, I know you at play, but I don't know you at work.
Work? Well, what's my work got to do with it? You knew that I was a civil official, the magistrate of Chandrapur.
Yes, but what I mean is, different places sometimes make different people. And that's why I came here with your mother, to find out.
Oh, to get reacquainted. Very well, then. Well, what would you like to do?
Well, your mother and I would both like to meet your people.
Oh, but you have met them.
Oh, not these people. Your Indian friends, those you come across socially.
Oh, but my dear Adela, we don't. The natives may be full of virtues, but we simply don't, you know.
Oh?
Here, the music stopped. If you must meet someone, come and let me introduce you to some other members of the club. Major Canada.
Ah, Heslop, old chap.
Miss Quested, may I present Mrs. Chapman?
How do you know?
Mrs. Callender and Major Callender, our resident surgeon here.
Delighted. Well, Miss Quested, and what do you think of India? Pretty terrible, what?
Well, I'd like to see the real India, Major Callender.
The real India?
Yes, the people, the natives.
You want to see Indians? The problem here is to avoid seeing them, Miss Quested.
Really? Why, in India, the kindest thing one can do to a native is to let him die.
And what if he goes to heaven?
Oh, as a matter of fact, I thought about that very thing, Miss Quested. They might go to him, and then we'd have to meet them there. It'd be embarrassing, what?
Well, if you ask me, Major, I think it's...
Excuse me, Adela, but... Major, Mrs. Callender, Mrs. Chetton, none of you have seen Mother in the last few minutes, have you?
Mrs. Moore? Why, no.
Well, perhaps we'd better go and look for her in the garden. Come along, Adela.
But, Ron, did you hear
her? A while ago, she was asking me questions about the Mohammedan mosque.
The mosque? Why would she be interested in that?
I'm sure I can't imagine, my dear. But it certainly shows she's not Paka. No, not at all Paka.
Oh, I didn't expect it to be so beautiful.
Madame.
Oh.
Madame.
You startled me.
I beg your pardon, madame. This is a mosque. You have no right here at all. I beg your pardon, but you should have taken off your shoes. This is a holy place for Muslims.
I have taken them off. I left them at the entrance.
Oh, then I must ask your pardon, madame. I am truly sorry for speaking.
I was right, was I not? If I remove my shoes, I'm allowed.
Why, of course, but you see, so few ladies take the trouble, especially... especially if thinking that no one is there to see.
That makes no difference. God is here.
God is here. Very fine. Very good indeed. Beautiful. Beautiful. I shall tell my community, madame. I shall tell all our friends about you. God is here. I think that you are newly arrived in India.
Yes, how did you know?
By the way you address me. May I please know your name, madame?
Mrs. Moore. I'm here to visit my son. He's the civil magistrate here.
The civil... Oh, no. No, excuse me, please. That is quite impossible. You see, our city magistrate's name is Mr. Heslop, and I know him intimately.
He's my son all the same. I've been married twice and widowed twice.
Oh. Oh, I see, madam. I, too, have been married.
I've only come from the club. They're having a dance, and it was so hot.
If you will forgive me for saying, I think Madame ought not to walk at night alone. There are bad characters about, and leopards may come across from the Malabar Hills. Snakes, also.
But you walk about yourself.
Well, I am a doctor. Snakes. They don't dare bite me.
A doctor? Then you must know Major Callender, the civil surgeon.
Yes, Madame. I am his Indian subordinate.
Oh, really? You mean you help him with his work?
No, madame. I am there so he can waste my time and cut me dead socially, but what does it matter? I am just a subordinate. I can do nothing about it, and he knows it. I beg your pardon. I'm sorry. I should not speak this way in your presence, madame, but you have seemed so very sympathetic. I would very much like to be of some service to you, Mrs. Moore. May I escort you back to the club, please?
Why, yes, if you like. I wish I were a member so I might invite you in.
Thank you. That is very kind of you indeed, Mrs. Moore. But Indians are not allowed in the Chandrapur Club, no. No, not even as guests.
She is, Ronnie.
Oh, Mother, where have you been? Adela and I have been searching all over for you.
I stepped out for a breath of air.
Oh, but, Mother, it's dangerous for an Englishwoman to go out unescorted.
Really?
Yes, really.
Oh, then it may comfort you to know I was escorted.
Oh, well, why didn't you say so? And by whom?
A young man.
A young man? Was he nice?
Very nice, Adela. He's a doctor. I don't know his name.
I'd like to thank the chap. Will you point him out?
Oh, he didn't come in. He said he wasn't allowed.
Good. Heavens. A native?
Yes, a Mohammedan.
Must have been that fellow Aziz.
Aziz? What a charming name.
The devil had his nerve. How did he speak to you, Mother? Impudently?
Why, no. He merely asked me to remove my shoes before entering the mosque.
Well, I hope you didn't remove them.
Now, look here, Ronnie. Wouldn't you expect a Mohammedan to take off his hat in our church?
It's different, Adela. It's different. You don't understand.
I know I don't. And I want to. What is the difference, please?
Well,
there you are, Miss Crested. I believe we have the next dance.
Oh, very well then, Major.
Mother, I wish you hadn't spoken about this fellow Aziz to Adela. She'll begin wondering whether we treat the natives properly and all that sort of nonsense.
Well, do you?
You must realize that we're not out here for the purpose of being pleasant. We're out here to do justice and keep the peace. No, we're not pleasant in India, and we don't intend to be pleasant. There's something more important to do.
Are you quite finished?
Quite.
Then let me say something. India is a part of the earth, and the good Lord put us on earth to be pleasant to one another. From what Adela and I have seen, you and these others aren't being pleasant or even decent. And for the life of me, I can't understand why.
I see. You want to find out?
Yes, I do.
Very well, then, you shall. I'll ask the commissioner to arrange a bridge party.
A bridge party? Oh, but Robbie, I don't play.
It's not cards, Mother. It's an expression we use. A bridge party here is a party to bridge the gap between East and West. Now, we'll invite some of your precious natives, and then perhaps you'll understand our attitude a little better. To the Honorable Chandra Das, your presence is requested now. No, your presence is expected at a party to be given in the garden at the Chandrapur Club in honor of the newly arrived guests, Miss Adela Quested and Mrs. James Moore. 3 p.m., the 3rd of November, 1924.
Major Callender, would you introduce me to some of the Indians?
Oh, now, really?
Oh, please.
Oh, very well. But just remember, Mrs. Moore, you're superior to them. Don't forget that. Now, come along.
Miss Quested, I'm Cyril Fielding. We haven't met.
Oh? How do you do, Mr. Fielding?
I couldn't help overhearing your conversation with the Major.
I suppose you're going to tell me, too, that I mustn't fraternize.
On the contrary. I'm principal of the government college, and, well, frankly, I'm frowned upon because I try occasionally to promote a little understanding between the natives and the British.
You're a friend of the natives?
Yes.
May I shake your hand, Mr. Fielding?
Why,
I envy you. You see, I never seem to get a chance to know them.
Would you care to meet one or two?
Very, very much indeed.
Oh, then perhaps I could invite you and the other lady down to the college for tea. Give you a chance to meet some of my Indian friends.
We'd love it. And do you know Dr. Aziz?
Would you like him asked too?
Mrs. Moore says he's so nice.
Very well, Miss Quested. Will Thursday suit you?
Indeed it will.
Miss Quested, I'd like to meet a very dear friend, Dr. Aziz. How do you do?
How do you do?
Ah, and this is Mrs. Moore.
Oh, you've met.
Dr. Aziz is the young man I met at the mosque the other night.
Yeah.
Of course.
Oh. Would either of you ladies care to look around my college?
Do show me around, Mr. Fielding. Adela and Dr. Aziz will want to stay here and get acquainted. I'm sure the doctor can tell her many interesting things about India.
Very well. We won't be long this way, Mrs. Moore. I'll be very happy to tell you.
Yes. A doctor must find his work very interesting.
Yes.
So very interesting.
Mm-hmm, yes.
So you and Mrs. Moore met at the mosque?
Yes.
I saw the mosque as we were coming in.
Miss Quested.
Yes.
You see, we are by nature a most informal people.
You are?
Yes, we are.
Oh, dear me, I was beginning to sound just like Major Callender's wife.
Oh, I hope not. I hope not.
You must forgive me. You see, I've never been in India before, and, well, I'm deathly afraid that I'm going to violate some obscure point of Indian etiquette.
As a matter of fact, Miss Quested, there is no such thing. You see, my people believe that so long as we cause no one discomfort, that is etiquette enough.
Well, it does sound a good deal more practical than worrying about which spoon.
May I ask a personal question, please?
Certainly.
Thank you. They say you have come here to marry Mrs. Moore's son, the city magistrate.
I may. What do your people think of Ronnie, of Magistrate Heslop?
We think that it is a great honor to be a magistrate.
That isn't what I meant.
You see, I have often thought I should like very much to be a magistrate.
You still haven't answered my question.
If I were a magistrate, Miss Crested, I should sit here in this very room doing justice. For instance, a poor widow comes along and she has been robbed. So I give her 50 rupees, and to another one I would give 100, and so on.
I suppose if you were magistrate, you would never punish anyone.
Precisely, Miss Crested, precisely. I would say, poor criminal, give him another chance. Why, it only makes a man worse, much worse, to go to prison and be corrupted.
And if the poor criminal went off and robbed another widow?
Very well, then I should give him enough rupees so he would not have to rob. Miss Crested, a magistrate should be kind and not prejudiced, I think. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Perhaps.
Thank you, because if you do, then you understand my people.
I understand very few people, Doctor. I only know whom I like and dislike.
Well, then you are an Oriental.
Oh, no, I'm hardly that. I know nothing of India.
Well, what would you like to know?
Oh, I should like to see it. So far, all I've seen is the civil station.
Oh, you must visit the Malabar Caves.
Malabar Caves?
Ah, surely you have heard of them.
No, I don't believe I have. Where are they?
Oh, about 20 miles from Chandrapur. They are very unique indeed.
I should love to see them.
I will take you and Mrs. Moore.
When?
Anytime you wish. I place myself entirely at...
Anyone home?
Why, it's Ronnie. Ronnie, in here.
Oh, what's happened to Fielding? Where's Mother?
Good evening, Ronnie.
I want you and Mother at once. There's to be polo.
I thought there was to be no polo.
Well, everything's altered. Now, come along. I'll tell you about it.
Your mother will return shortly, Mr. Hesler. Will you kindly take some tea?
I should like you to fetch her at once.
I am quite certain that one of Mr. Fielding's servants would be most happy to fetch her.
Very well. See if she does.
Ronnie!
Aziz, I'm terribly sorry. I didn't expect Hesler to turn up.
That is quite all right, Mr. Fielding. I'm used to being insulted.
How do you stand it, Aziz? How do any of you stand it?
Because there are people like you, Mr. Fielding, to give us hope and friendship.
I don't suppose Hesler would have been so excited if he weren't hoping to marry Miss Quested.
Oh, that is a mistake, I think. A bad mistake. They do not think alike, Mr. Fielding. Mr. Fielding, why don't you marry Miss Quested?
What? Oh, good Lord, no. Why, the girl's a prig.
A prig? Kindly explain, please. Prig is rather an unpleasant word, is it?
Why, I don't know her, but she struck me as one of the more pathetic products of Western education. Flat-chested, repressed. Oh, she depresses me.
But a prig, Mr. Fielding, prig. I go, oh, how,
well,
prig? How prig?
She goes on and on as if she were at a lecture, trying ever so hard to understand India and life, and occasionally taking a note.
Oh, by the way, I have invited the ladies to visit the Marabar Caves.
Oh, well, they won't hold you to it after what's happened.
But no, I should very much like them to come, Mr. Fielding. Will you help me?
Are you serious?
Why, yes. It is not for the girl. Between you and me, I do not find her very attractive either. But the older lady, Mrs. Moore, she is so, well, very sympathetic. I should very much like to be of some service to her.
Oh, well then.
Yes, but I will need your help. You see, it is not allowed for a Muslim to accompany English ladies alone. Mm. Will you come with us, Mr. Fielding?
Why, yes, in that case.
Oh, of course. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
But he's a Muslim. You can't do it, Adela.
Why not, Ronnie? He's intelligent and interesting. The finest type of educated Indian. Why, if I were a woman of his own race...
Adela,
I...
if you intend to marry me, you will have to stop this nonsense. There's my official position to consider.
I haven't decided to marry you yet.
But you will. We both a good deal of common sense and...
What about love?
What about it? We're fond enough of each other.
But not enough to trust me out on a harmless expedition, it seems. Not even with your mother along.
If you loved me, you wouldn't go.
Well, I came to see India, and I intend to do it. I'm sorry, Ronnie. I'm going. Dr. Aziz! Do hurry. They're holding up the train.
It's no use. It is no use.
Didn't you find Mr. Fielding?
I'm sorry. No, he is nowhere.
But he promised to meet us at the early train.
I am a failure. A failure. Our expedition is ruined.
Oh, nonsense. If he won't catch the train, we'll go without him.
Do you think we should, Mrs. Moore?
Of course we should.
But I warn you. I warn you. It is not done. Two English ladies and a Muslim.
Then we shall all be Muslims together. Come, Adela. Let's go aboard.
I am afraid that our Indian railroads are not very comfortable, Mrs. Moore.
We are used to that.
Now then, in just a few moments, the sun will rise, and we will be able to see the beautiful Marabar Hills. And then Miss Quested should be able to make some photographs with her camera. Miss Quested?
I'm afraid she's dropped off to sleep. Poor child. She had a frightful row last evening with my son.
Oh?
I don't suppose she slept very well afterwards. Dear girl. I wonder what she's dreaming about.
Strong.
He's a Muslim.
Common sense. Ronnie, Mary.
Take this man.
What about love? Common sense.
Mary,
Ronnie.
But how do you...
The Muslim.
Strong.
Mary, Ronnie.
Adela, what is it?
Are you all right, Miss Quest?
Oh, I fell asleep. Excuse me. Where are we?
We are almost there.
Oh.
Soon we will be in the Marabar Cave.
It's absolutely magnificent. Look at that sky.
Yes, Miss Quested. Yes. The caves now are a few hundred yards up the hill. And here we shall spread our carpet and picnic. Would you ladies care to see the first of the caves perhaps now before we eat?
I would.
And you, Mrs. Moore?
I think I'll just sit here and rest a while. You two go on alone.
Will that be all right with you, Miss Quested?
Why, yes, of course it will.
Thank you. Very well, then. We begin the climb. And please, do not carry your sun hat in your hand like that. Oh. The early sun is highly dangerous for the head.
Not with my thick hair.
No, really. I speak as a doctor now. I do wish you would please put on your sun hat. So... Here we are. That opening over there, Miss Crested, is the entrance to the famous Marabar Caves. Oh. And behind that opening, a dozen small caves fan out into larger and larger ones. By the way, there is a very beautiful echo, which I will be very happy to demonstrate.
What's that?
Don't be afraid. Just a bat. They harm no one.
I shall stay close by you all the same. It looks so dark.
Yes, just one little moment, please, while I light this lantern. Oh.
Yes.
Oh, you are trembling. You are cold?
No, it's not that.
You are afraid, Miss Preston. I assure you there is no danger. I am right here to protect you, and you will be as safe as though your fiancé himself were here.
My fiancé?
Yes, Mr. Heslop.
Oh.
You see, I have heard that you two are to be married soon, yes?
I... Come on, Auntie, let's go in.
Just one moment, please. You are absolutely not afraid to go in the cave with me, Miss Preston?
No, of course not. Let's go in.
Thank you. You observe the echo, Miss Preston? It is really a very fine echo.
Yes. Frightening. What am I doing here?
Yes. To visit the famous Marabar Caves is an experience you will never forget.
Why did I ever come?
It really is a pity that Mrs. Moore is not here to see this, and of course your fiancé, Mr. Hedlock.
Ronnie, why does he keep talking about Ronnie?
Careful, please. The rocks are slippery here. I beg your pardon. You'd better let me take your hand, yes?
How strong his hand is, and how fine. How attractive he must seem to women of his race.
The cave is really very beautiful, is it not?
They do make a difference. Beauty and magnificence.
charm. If only Ronnie were more like him.
I beg your pardon. Perhaps you would prefer to enjoy it all in silence. I would understand. You see, there is a saying we have. Words destroy beauty and love.
Beauty and love?
But of course, Miss Prestige, you would already know about that. After all, are you not in love with Mr. Heslop?
Beauty and love. Why did he have to say that? Beauty and love. I've never met either.
Miss Prestige. Your hand is trembling now. You really are not frightened, are you?
No.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I'm horribly frightened. I just discovered something. I don't love Ronnie. The man I'm going to marry. I don't love him at all.
Come, come. Miss Preston, have courage. Believe me, there's absolutely nothing to fear.
Why did I have to wait until now to find out? Well, what am I going to do if only Ronnie were more like a thief?
Look, now we are nearing the great inner cave.
I see. If only I were a woman of his rank and race. Oh, what am I thinking?
Wrong.
He's a Muslim.
Wrong.
He's a Muslim.
Commentary. Ronnie, Mary, Ronnie.
He's a Muslim.
But what about love? Love and beauty.
Wrong. It's wrong.
No.
Miss Twister, is something wrong?
Yes, Aziz, there's something I must tell you. I am not going to marry Mr. Heslop.
No, I do not understand, Miss
Twister. I can't explain. I just can't marry him, that's all. Oh, Aziz.
Oh, but Miss Twister, believe me, marriage is good. I know.
You know? You?
Yes, of course. I have been married. I have 3 fine children.
I might have known. You're a Mohammedan, aren't you? I suppose you have 4 wives like all the rest.
Please, Miss Preston. You don't know what you're saying.
Oh.
I am an educated Indian.
What difference does that make? Mrs. Durden says it all.
Please. For wives, you don't know how you have disgraced me with that remark.
But Aziz!
Please, I cannot bear the shame of it, Miss Preston. Forgive me. Please excuse me.
Aziz, don't run away. You must have something to hurt your...
From Hollywood, the NBC University Theater is bringing you Joseph Schildkraut in a radio version of E.M. Forster's A Passage to India. If you are interested in supplementing your enjoyment of these NBC University Theater productions with home study under college supervision, be sure to listen to the announcement at the close of this program. And now, our intermission commentator, the author of A Passage to India and Aspects of the Novel, Mr. E.M. Forster.
I wrote A Passage to India 25 years ago. It's not a political tract. It is a novel about human beings which hopes here and there to achieve the effect of poetry. The use of the Maraba caves as a recurrent theme is an example of poetic intention, as are the 3 sections of the book, which symbolize the seasons of the Indian year, namely the cold weather, the hot weather, and the rains. But, of course, politics enter. They color the social background, and it might be interesting to look back at the novel for a minute from the political point of view. When it came out, India was ruled by Great Britain, to the great discomfort of both parties. And the book dwelt specially on the social discomforts, on the racial arrogance and snobbery of the English, the clubs from which Indians were excluded, trouble on the railways, and so on, and also on Indian bitterness and suspicion. Such problems occur all over the 20th century world, and there they assumed a special shape. Thank heaven, things have improved. Our present government in Great Britain has cleared out of India, greatly to its credit and much to the relief of us all. The social and psychological tensions have ceased. English and Indians can now meet as equals without both of them feeling self-conscious, and all that part of the passage to India is out of date, and I'm thankful it should be. I last visited the country in 1945, 4 years back, when the big change was coming on but hadn't yet taken place. English friends who have gone there since always emphasize the easiness and the friendliness of their reception by Indians. That, unfortunately, does not complete the picture. There's furthermore tension between the Indian communities themselves. My novel handled that too, and particularly dealt with the Hindu-Muslim friction. Those who love the country, and I count myself amongst its lovers, will long for it to achieve internal harmony also. Just for the British to clear out is not enough. Here again I'm an optimist. I believe that the present division into India and Pakistan is going to work. And letters I've had from the country during the last 6 months are most cheering. I pray that this may happen, and that here also a passage to India may date.
Thank you, Mr. Forster. Our radio version of A Passage to India, starring Joseph Schildkraut, will continue from Hollywood after a brief pause for station identification.
Oh, Mr. Fielding, praise Allah, you've come.
I missed the train and persuaded Mrs. Turton to drive me up.
What's wrong, Aziz? You're white as a sheet.
Mr. Fielding, strike me, kill me.
Oh, don't be an idiot. What's happened?
Miss Cresford has disappeared.
What happened?
Well, we were in the cave and, oh, she made a remark which upset me terribly. I was so overcome, I rushed away to regain my balance and, well, when I came back, she was gone.
You don't suppose she's lost in the cave?
I've searched it and searched it. She must have come out because her camera was lying outside with a strut broken and her sun helmet.
Hello, that's bad without a helmet. You have to watch out for sunstroke.
Oh, I could kill myself. I have disgraced myself by failing in my responsibility.
Oh, pull yourself together, man.
Look, Mr. Fielding, look down there on the plain.
Good heavens.
Is that not Miss Crested and two other ladies getting into a car?
Yes, that's Mrs. Turton's car. Well, then she's all right.
Thank heaven.
They're driving off.
That is most strange.
Hi! Mrs. Turton! Miss Question! Hi!
It is too late, Mr. Fielding. They did not hear you.
Well, all the unnatural, unheard of, unexcelled acts of impolite.
But I do not understand it.
Neither do I. But I'm going to demand an explanation the minute I get back to Chandrapur.
The train reaches Chandrapur now, Mr. Fielding, and perhaps we will learn about Miss Clexton, huh?
Hello. Look there on the platform. Isn't that Commissioner Turton?
Yes. Oh, perhaps he is here on some official business. He comes aboard. Commissioner Turton, it is an unexpected
Doctor
pleasure
Aziz, it is my highly painful duty to arrest you.
Commissioner?
Fielding, Miss Preston has been insulted in one of the Malabar caves.
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, yes. The most dastardly crime a native has dared yet.
Oh.
Now, come along quietly, Aziz.
No.
Oh,
see here, Turton. I demand an explanation.
Calm down, Fielding. Dr. Aziz was arrested for molesting Miss Quested in one of the caves.
Oh.
She's escaped, by God's grace.
It's ridiculous. Who placed this charge?
Mrs. Turton and the victim herself.
Girl herself? Then she's mad. I do not believe that Aziz could do such a thing.
He took her into this cave, extinguished the lantern, and made insulting advances. She rushed out of the cave and down the hill. Mrs. Turton found her in a hysterical state and drove her back to Chandrapur. She's in the hospital now.
When can I speak to her?
She's already told her story.
But she couldn't have thought of this story by herself. Someone else must have helped to plant it in her mind.
Fielding! My wife was the woman who was with her afterwards. That is an insult. You withdraw it instantly.
I apologize.
And by the way, Fielding, there will be an informal meeting at the Chandrapur Club this evening to discuss the situation and what's to be done about the natives. But in view of your obvious sympathies, I'm doubtful that you'd care to come.
On the contrary, sir, I shall most certainly come.
Attention. Your attention, please. Will this meeting come to order? First, I want to talk especially to the ladies. There's not the least cause for alarm. Keep cool. Keep cool. Don't go out more than you can help. Don't go into the city. And don't talk before your servants.
Drums. I hear them. The natives are coming.
Mrs. Callender, be calm. Those drums are only for the feast of Muharram. My men are watching it. Now, will the ladies please leave the smoking room? There are some things we men must discuss. Now, gentlemen, someone has suggested that we call out the troops. I hardly think that is necessary. Just remember, one isolated Indian is charged with an attempted crime.
Commissioner Turton, I've learned some facts about this case you'll be interested to know.
Major Callender?
I've learned that the prisoner bribed his servant not to accompany her to the case. As to how they managed to get rid of the certain Englishman who was to accompany the train, well, money has strange powers.
Major, I demand you withdraw that.
I didn't mean to imply you, Mr. Fielding. Just that your servant was bribed to make you late for the train.
That's ridiculous, and you know it.
Not ridiculous. Neatly planned so that beast could be alone with that defenseless girl. Pretty, pretty, eh? I say it's time for action. Call in the troops and clear the door.
Please sit down, gentlemen. I only want to listen to what has been decided.
That native has a friend here.
Why doesn't the swine stand up?
Mr. Fielding, what has prevented you from standing up?
May I make a statement?
Certainly.
Very well. I believe Dr. Aziz to be innocent.
You have a right to hold that opinion. But is that any reason to insult Mr. Heslop by not standing for
him? If you will let me finish.
Do.
I am waiting for the verdict of the court. If he is guilty, I resign from British service and leave India. I resign from the Chandrapur Club. Now.
Mr. Fielding, one moment. Before leaving this club, from which you did very well to resign, you will express your contempt for this crime and you will apologize to Mr. Heslop.
Are you speaking to me officially, sir, or as a man?
I regret that I demeaned myself to meet you. You've sunk to the level of your native associates. You're weak, rotten, rottenly weak. Now get out. Get out!
Aziz.
Mr. Fielding. You did not desert me.
I would have come sooner, but they barred me. How are you?
How should I be? My career, my name, gone. Ruined.
But you aren't guilty.
What difference? Even if I am acquitted, I cannot go among the English anymore. They will hate me all the more.
We'll get the best lawyers.
Thank you, my friend Mahmoud Ali will plead my case.
He's a good man.
Good man? Mr. Fielding, do you really think it will make any difference?
Don't you?
My chances are not worth that.
We'll fight it. We'll appeal if it takes every penny I've got, I swear it.
Mr. Fielding, excuse me. Over there on the cup there, you will find a brown envelope. Will you kindly get it?
This?
Yes. Please open it.
Very well. Who is this?
My wife.
She's very beautiful.
And you, sir, are the first Englishman who has ever seen her face.
You do me a great honor. I thought it was against the custom of the Purdah.
I should have told her that you were my brother, because my brother may see my wife.
Brother? Brother's only a word.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Much more than a word. All men are my brothers. And when one of them behaves as such, he may see my wife.
And when all men behave as such, the custom of the Purdah will vanish.
It is because you can say such a thing, Mr. Fielding, that I show you her picture. Cyril Fielding, my friend, my brother. No one will ever realize how much kindness we Indians need. We do not even know it ourselves, but we do know when kindness has been given, and we do not forget. Kindness. Kindness. Kindness, Mr. Fielding, is the only hope. What use the reform committees and the brotherhood movements and all that when your people sneer at the color of our skin? Well, please forgive me. You may put her picture away now. She is of no importance because she has been dead for 12 years.
Major Callender says you're almost well, Adela. Mother and I have come to fetch you home.
Hello, Mrs. Moore.
Here, let me kiss you, darling.
No, don't touch me, Ronnie. I'm sorry, it's just that I can't bear to have anyone touch me.
I understand, my dear.
Everyone's so kind, so very kind. I must get things straight in my mind first, that's all.
Oh, of course. You should be all right in time for the trial, huh?
Trial? No one's mentioned anything about a trial.
Well, you wouldn't want to let the rascal off scot-free.
They've caught him? How did they know who it was?
You told us yourself, darling. You signed a statement.
Isn't that funny? I can't seem to remember things anymore. I'm so tired and confused. I keep hearing the echo.
Echo?
The echo from the cave. I can't seem to get rid of it.
No, my dear. I don't suppose you ever will.
Mother, for heaven's sake.
Mrs. Moore, what is this echo?
Don't you know?
Oh, Mother, I forbid this. We were counting on you to testify in the witness box. But if you're going to talk like this...
Why do you want me in a witness box?
Why, I should think you'd want to testify, Mother. No one blames you, of course, but the fact is that you dropped out and encouraged Adela to go with him alone.
My son, I shall attend your marriage, but not your trial.
Huh? Well, this isn't my trial.
Are you so sure of that, Ronnie? Suppose I get up in the witness box and say what I really believe. That this poor girl had a hallucination. That perhaps she even wanted such a thing to happen to her. And that now she's being driven mad by you, by the Turtons, by her own feelings of guilt. Suppose I say those things. Then whose trial is it?
You're insane. You're absolutely insane.
Ronnie, he's innocent. Aziz is good. I must have made a mistake.
Hush, Adela, you must be quiet.
Oh, Ronnie, help me, Ronnie. I don't know what's right. Just don't leave me, Ronnie.
I won't, dear. And you haven't made a mistake, but you must be more careful about what you say.
I can tell you this, Ronnie. I'll not help you torture that young man for what he never did.
Mother, if you have any evidence in the prisoner's favor, it is your bounden duty to go to the witness box for him. I assure you, no one will stop you.
No.
Very well, then. Now then, will you excuse me, please? Hello? Get me the police commissioner, please.
Police commissioner?
McBride, this is Ronnie Hadlett.
Oh, yes, Ronnie.
I want you to arrange passage for my mother back to England at once.
In October? Oh, you can't go now. The heat will kill her.
Immediately.
Yes, but...
McBride, listen. Listen carefully. It is most important that mother be on her way to England before the other side can subpoena her, the witness.
But I thought she was our witness.
Yes. So did I.
Oh. I see. Very well, Ronnie. I'll take care of it at once.
Oh, we're coming to the courthouse now, Adela. How do you feel?
Oh, I'm sure to break down, Ronnie.
No, Adela, you mustn't. We're depending on you. Say, now, there's a mob and it looks ugly.
Randy Coward!
Driver, drive round to the back. I don't like the looks of this. This must be Fielding's doing.
This court is now in session. The case of the British Raj versus Dr. Aziz.
Yes, gentlemen. It was at the home of a certain Mr. Fielding that the prisoner met this question. And there conceived his evil desires concerning her. And need I point out a certain scientific truth? The darker races are physically attracted by the fairer. But not, I repeat, not vice versa. This is not a matter for bitterness, but merely a fact, which any scientific observer will confirm.
Even when the lady is so uglier than the gentleman...
Turn that man out! Proceed, Mr. McFly. And need I remind you of the document which Miss Quest had signed upon her arrival at the hospital, telling in full detail exactly what had happened, in which she made mention that her camera had been torn from her. That camera, ladies and gentlemen, was discovered on the person of the prisoner. And he even went so far as to influence another English lady, Mrs. Moore, to remain behind so that he might have Miss Quested alone in the cave.
Why do you not call this Mrs. Moore and let us hear her story?
I do not propose to call her.
No, because you have smuggled her out of the country. She would have proved his innocence.
Need I remind Mr. Mahmoud Ali that the defense could have called her at any time?
No! She was kept from us until too late. Give her back to us and she will prove our case. I ruined my career as a lawyer by this behavior. No matter. We have all to be ruined. One by one.
Mr. Ali, unless you sit down, I shall exercise my authority.
This trial is a farce. I can stand no more. I'm going. You can get Aziz another lawyer.
I say, Hesler, old chap. Commissioner Turton?
We've got to call Miss Crafter at once. Do you think she can go through with it?
Oh, don't worry. I've braced her to it.
You said Mrs. Moore was tired and she sat alone while you and the prisoner went up to the cave.
Yes.
No one else was present?
No.
You went into the entrance?
That is correct.
And the prisoner went with you?
Now we've got him.
I will repeat the question. The prisoner was alone with you?
Yes.
He extinguished his lantern and then attempted to seize you. Am I correct? Miss Crawford, I asked you a question. He attempted to seize you, did he not?
May I have a moment, please?
Certainly.
I I cannot be sure.
I beg your pardon?
I cannot be sure.
I didn't catch that answer. You were in the cave. The light went out. He attempted to seize you. Well?
No.
Speak up, please, Miss Quested.
I'm afraid I have made a mistake.
What nature of mistake?
Dr. Aziz never came near me. I was frightened of the
now,
darkness.
Now, Miss Quested, let me read the words of a statement
Excuse me, Mr. McBride. I am magistrate here, and I am speaking to the witness. And I will have silence in this court. Miss Quested, address remarks to me, who am magistrate in charge of this case, and remember, please, extreme gravity. You speak on oath.
Dr. Aziz never...
I stop these proceedings on medical grounds. That girl's insane. Silence! Silence! No Indian is...
Silence! Miss Quested, do you withdraw this charge?
Yes! Yes! I withdraw it! I withdraw everything! Everything!
Mr. McBride, you have heard. You will have to withdraw.
He does not withdraw! He's a liar! A thief!
Arrest that woman! This case is dismissed! Release the prisoner!
It was good of you to ride as far as Amagir with me, Cyril.
Aziz, I hoped I might convince you not to desert us.
No, it is no use. My mind is made up.
But to give up your practice, your friends, to ride off and become a medicine man to some backwoods Rajah, why?
Why? I'm frightened. The English have frightened me, Cyril. And when a man is frightened, he can only do two things. He can either kick and scream on the committees and in political parties, or he can retreat to the jungle where no Englishman ever comes.
But why should you choose to retreat?
Because of you.
I don't understand.
You see, if all Englishmen were like the Turtons and the Burtons and the Callenders and all the rest, then I could stay, my friend, and fight. But the decent English, the kind, the good English, like, for instance, you and Mrs. Moore, you have disorganized my hatred.
But if we're friends, why do you run away?
Because at last I am an Indian. My loyalty now is undivided. My heart remains for my people.
We're almost to the fork of the road.
Yes.
Before we part, there is a piece of news I cannot keep from you.
Yes, what news is that?
Mrs. Moore died.
Oh, no.
Yes, on the ship to England.
I wonder if her son will ever admit to himself that he killed her.
I doubt it. He even refused to marry Miss Quested, you know.
Well, I cannot feel sorry for her.
I suppose not. Here's the parking of these.
Yes.
Whoa,
whoa, whoa.
Your road lies ahead. Mine to the right. Where shall you be?
I go to a place in northern India called Mau. Many years ago, another young Mohammedan went there. He was a saint. His mother had said to him, "Go, son, free prisoners." And he took a sword and did go. And did free prisoners. Well, perhaps I shall come to be like him. Perhaps someday this horse I ride will become a charger. And I shall make it rear in battle, my friend, like this. And then I shall say, India shall be a nation. And I shall cry down with the British, clear out, you swine, double quick. We may be confused, but you we hate. And if I do not make you go, then my son Ahmet will make you go. And his son Karim will make you go, yes? If it takes 5,500 years, we shall get rid of you, you swine. We will drive every blasted Englishman into the sea.
And then, my very, very dear friend, Cyril, then you and I shall be friends.
But why can't we be friends now? It's what I want. It's what you want.
No, look, the horses do not want it. They pull us apart. The earth does not want it. Look, my friend, how it sends up rocks all around to divide us. The jays don't want it. The palaces don't want it. The clubs don't want it. The temples don't want it. They do not want it. They do not want it. They all say it in 100 voices and in 100 different ways, my friend. Listen, just listen. Even the sky says it. Listen, God's own sky says it. Not yet. Not yet! Not yet!
You have been listening to A Passage to India, an NBC University Theater production of the novel by E.M. Forster, starring Joseph Schildkraut. If you wish to expand your knowledge and appreciation of literature, we suggest that you might enjoy the college-supervised courses now being offered in connection with the NBC University Theater. Simply write to NBC University Theater, in care of the University of Louisville, Louisville, Kentucky, the University of Tulsa, Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Kansas State Teachers College, Pittsburgh, Kansas. Now, as to next week. Next week, the NBC University Theater formally opens its summer season with one of the hardest-hitting novels of recent years, Bud Schulberg's devastating What Makes Sammy Run. Our star on that occasion will be Paul Stewart. And next week, the NBC University Theater moves to a new time. On most of these stations, it will be heard on Saturday afternoon. Your local newspaper will list the exact hour of broadcast. In succeeding weeks, following next Saturday's production of What Makes Sammy Run, we will bring you versions of some of the most exciting books of our times. Graham Greene's Brighton Rock, Thornton Wilder's The Ides of March, J.P. Marquand's current bestseller, Point of No Return, Stephen Hines' The Crusaders, and others of that caliber. We hope that you will join us for the Saturday productions of the NBC University Summer Theater. A Passage to India was adapted by George Lefferts and starred Joseph Schildkraut, internationally celebrated star of screen and stage, as Dr. Aziz. Our cast included Ben Wright, Alma Lawton, Alec Harford, Paul Marion, Constance Cavendish, Marion Richmond, Norma Varden, Donald Morrison, Raymond Lawrence, Harley Bear. Your announcer, Don Stanley. At intermission, you heard E.M. Forster, whose commentary was recorded. The original musical score was composed and conducted by Dr. Albert Harris. The director of the NBC University Theater is Andrew C. Love. This program came to you from Hollywood. Tonight, the NBC Symphony Summer Concert Series makes its debut. Fritz Reiner will conduct the premiere broadcast and will have as his guest the distinguished American soprano, Miss Dorothy Maynor. You'll enjoy a delightful program of your favorite music. Remember to hear the NBC Symphony in a new series of concerts at a new time. Tonight, over most of these NBC stations. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.